Chapter 1. The Public Meeting. In late autumn, not so many years ago, a public meeting was held at the Mansion House. It had been arranged under the direction of the Lord Mayor of London. The list of gentlemen invited to speak had been chosen for two reasons. First, there were the famous speakers. They would rouse public interest. Then there were the businessmen. They would be useful in explaining the purpose of the meeting. Money wisely spent on announcing the meeting had produced the expected result. So well, in fact, that every seat in the hall was full before the meeting had even begun. As a result, late arrivals had no choice but to stand or leave the hall. Among the late arrivals were two ladies. Seeing the hall full, one decided to leave. "I shall go back to the carriage," she said. "I shall wait for you at the door." Her friend answered, "I shan't keep you long. The notices said that he is to support the second resolution. I want to see him, that's all." An older gentleman was seated at the end of a bench. He rose and offered his seat to the lady who remained. She hesitated. She was afraid to take advantage of his kindness. That was until he reminded her that he had heard what she had said to her friend. In other words, before the third resolution was proposed, his seat would be his own again. She thanked him and, without further formality, took his place. He had been provided with opera glasses. These he offered to her more than once when the famous speakers appeared on the stage. However, she made no use of them until a speaker stepped forward to support the second resolution. He was known as a shipowner. The notices about the meeting had said that his name was Ernest Lismore. The moment Ernest Lismore rose, the lady asked for the opera glasses. She kept them to her eyes for a long time and with noticeable interest in Mr. Lismore. This she had done with such intent that the curiosity of her neighbor was roused. Mr. Lismore was evidently a stranger to her. Had he anything to say in which a lady would be personally interested? His talk contained nothing that would appeal to women. Undoubtedly, though, he was a handsome man. He was, perhaps, somewhere between 30 and 40 years of age. Why a lady should keep opera glasses fixed on him all through his talk was a question the curious man found puzzling. Having returned the glasses with an apology, the lady risked asking a question. "Did it strike you, sir, that Mr. Lismore seemed to be out of spirits?" she asked. "I can't say it did, madam. Perhaps you noticed that he left the platform the moment he had finished?" This unusual interest in the speaker did not escape the notice of a lady seated in front of them. And before the older gentleman could answer, she volunteered an answer. "I am afraid Mr. Lismore is troubled by worries connected with his business," she said. "Or so my husband heard it reported in the city yesterday. You see, Mr. Lismore is seriously troubled by the failure..." A loud burst of applause made the end of the sentence impossible to hear. A famous member of Parliament had just risen to propose the third resolution. The polite older man took his seat back. The lady left the hall to join her friend, who was waiting for her outside. "Well, Mrs. Callender, has Mr. Lismore disappointed you?" she asked. "Far from it, but I have heard a report about him which has alarmed me. He is said to be experiencing financial difficulties. How can I find out his address in the city?" "We can stop at the first stationery shop we pass. There we can ask to look at the city directory. Are you going to pay Mr. Lismore a visit?" "I am going to think about it."